Some people believe they can do a lot more than they are capable of doing. And if you don't believe that, just watch the tryouts for American Idol sometime. But more often than not, people can do a lot more than they believe they are capable of doing. In Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 39, James and John came to Jesus with a request. The text says, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. After their request, in verse 38, Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Can you do this? Jesus asked. Yes, we can, they answered. Other translations say, we are able. Jesus asks, are you able to do this? And they respond, yes, we are able. So Jesus asked, can you drink the cup I drink? Drinking the cup is often used in Scripture of a great struggle or of some suffering a person is going to endure. Isaiah 51, verse 17 says, awake, awake, rise up, Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. Revelation 14, verses 9 and 10 says, a third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. In antiquity, criminals were many times compelled to drink poison. The classic example would be Socrates drinking the hemlock. And so the cup became a symbol of suffering and death. Then Jesus asked, can you be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And they said, yes, we can. Baptism is many times used figuratively of a deluge of trouble. Baptism is used of being overwhelmed with suffering or tragedy. Psalm 69, verses 1 and 2 says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. It's easy for us to understand what Christ meant. All we have to do is read the verses just prior to this account. Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. That text tells us they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished while those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later he will rise. And Jesus said, can you handle this? And their reply was, yes, we can. Their bold assertion was just as ignorant as their initial request. They didn't have a clue about what they were affirming. They had hopes of grandeur. They wanted to reign with Jesus in an earthly kingdom. And Jesus is asking, are you ready to be mistreated and humiliated and carry your cross daily to follow me? But to their credit, they did keep their promises at great cost. James was beheaded in Acts chapter 12, verse 2. Later, John was exiled or banished to the Isle of Patmos, Revelation 1, verse 9. Though he's thought to have died peacefully. These men, as well as the others, paid the price. They drank the cup. They suffered in many ways. Many times we sell ourselves short. We develop a view of ourselves that is very limited, very weak. We underestimate ourselves. We tell ourselves, and then we begin to believe that we are unable to do difficult things. We need to know our limitations, but we can get in the habit of believing we can do a lot less than we are capable of doing. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength," Philippians 4, verse 13. These were ordinary men. They had faults, frailties, weaknesses, and shortcomings like all of us. And so this account suggests that all of us are able, all of us can, with the help of God, be the kind of people He wants us to be. All of us can grow and persevere as those we read about in His Word. All of us can bear up under trials and sufferings. All of us can fulfill our God-given responsibilities. And all of us can overcome temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Paul tells us that there is always a way of escape when we are faced with temptations. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. We're never told that it will be easy. Remember Joseph, sold into slavery by his own brothers? He refused seduction by his master's wife, and as a result, he was put in prison on false charges. The question is not whether we can turn away from temptation. The question is whether we will. The question is whether we really want to. As Augustine said, "Lord, make me chaste, but not yet." Sometimes we excuse ourselves way too easily. We can bear our trials and sufferings with God's help. Our struggles in the flesh should humble us and remind us of our dependence upon God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, Paul wrote, "In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." All of us know people personally, or we know of people, who have overcome tremendous odds and have flourished in spite of the difficulties. Johnny Erickson Tada is one such individual. After a diving accident in 1967, Johnny Erickson Tada was left a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. Today she is an internationally known mouth artist. I'll explain that in a second. She's also a talented vocalist, a radio host, and an author of over 17 books, and she's an advocate for disabled persons worldwide. If you're watching this, you'll see a picture of her with one of her paintings. And as you can see, she paints with the paintbrush between her teeth. That's why she's called a mouth artist. Try imagining all the time and all the effort it took to develop that ability to do that. We can do so much more than we sometimes think we can. Hebrews 12 verses 3 and 4 says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." The fact is, most of us have never even resisted to the point of breaking a sweat. We can withstand so much more than we sometimes believe we can. We can fulfill our responsibilities with the help of God. In Matthew chapter 25, the one talent man was not able to produce on the same level as the five talent man. but he could have done what he was able to do. He was condemned not because he could not produce 2 talents, not because he could not produce 5 talents. He was condemned because he would not produce what he was capable of producing. Margareta Deland wrote, "A pint can't hold a quart. If it holds a pint, it's doing all that can be expected of it." Gideon did not think very highly of himself, and God didn't expect him to be like David. But God did expect Gideon to do what Gideon was capable of doing. And he expects the same from you and from me. Philip Brooks said, "It's almost as presumptuous to think you can do nothing as it is to think you can do everything." Earlier I quoted Philippians 4 verse 13, where Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Many have turned this verse into a slogan of personal empowerment, a declaration of achievement, ambition, and accomplishment. This verse has been trivialized into some sort of motivating motto for material prosperity, career advancement, or athletic success. The irony is that by taking this verse out of context, many people have actually turned it on its head, making it mean the exact opposite of what it actually means. When Paul wrote Philippians 4:13, he was not writing about claiming victory or achieving some personal goal. He was not pursuing success. He was not trying to be victorious in some physical battle. He was writing about how he dealt with extremes in life. Notice what he just said in the previous verse, verse 12, Philippians 4, verse 12. He says, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." This is not the message of the health and wealth gospel. It's not the message of the name it and claim it ministries. Paul is saying, "I have learned the secret of facing plenty, of facing hunger, facing abundance, or facing need." He said he was able to live in contentment as a child of God, in peace and fellowship with God, carrying out God's purposes for his life in all the circumstances in which it had pleased God to place him. Paul had learned to be content with whatever God willed for his life. "I can do that," he's saying. "I can do it without being bitter or without being angry with God." Everything that God assigned to him, he said he could respond to it in a way that honored the Lord. Whatever the temptations, whatever the trials, the pressures of body or mind, whatever the afflictions, even prosperity and success, whether he was in a damp cell chained to a Roman guard or whether he was on the Mediterranean Sea, he had learned in all these situations that through Christ he could carry out the purposes of God and live as God's child in them all. This is what he was really saying. He was saying, "I can love God with all my heart, and I can love my neighbor as myself. I can forgive those who sin against me. I can turn the other cheek. I can be kind and gracious to those who are mean and malicious towards me. I can bear all things, endure all things, believe all things, and hope all things. I can present my body a living sacrifice to God. I can give a reason for the hope that is in me to anyone who asks me. I can run the race to the end and finish the course. I can put on the armor of God. I can be more patient with others who don't think like I do. I can apologize when I've said something I shouldn't have said or when I've done something I shouldn't have done. I can train myself to pray more often throughout the day. I can talk to a coworker about the Bible. I can do all of these things and more through Him who gives me strength. Everything God asks of me in the Bible, I can do." Sometimes we fail to do things because we feel so overwhelmed by the immensity of what we are facing. That's when we need to learn to think small. What small thing can I do that will make a difference? Remember, we sing, "Just a cup of cold water." Henry Van Dyke said, "Use what talents you possess." The forest would be very silent if no birds sang there, except those that sang best. Again, let's not beat ourselves up because we cannot do some grand thing like somebody else. But all of us can do whatever God has given us the ability and the responsibility to do. When it comes to serving the Lord and working in His kingdom, let us all determine to do what we can do.